All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sam Moore. You're watching Nasty Knuckle.
You're listening to Nasty Knuckles, the Hockey Outlaws podcast, with your host, Derek Nasty Suttermeyer, and former Philadelphia Flyer enforcer, Riley Cote, as they go behind the scenes with your favorite NHL players. Time to face off.
All right, welcome back. What's happening, Nasty?
Well, what's up, Rigorelia? I feel like I haven't seen you in about an hour.
I know, it's been a minute.
Yes, it has, buddy. What's going on?
Not much. You recovered from the weekend?
I have. I had a good tournament, which you bailed on your teammates again.
New
split
team.
Up. We had some Anatti Ice and then joined up with some boys, our buddies, the Vittorinis from Dexter, Team Dexter. And we had some cool unis. You had one.
I saw.
But you never showed.
Well, I was trying to squeeze it in, but you like got in the way.
I know. Happens. If we had you, probably would have won.
Yeah, I think
but,
so.
But, you know, thanks. Anyway.
Well, I did see some highlights.
Yeah, we're going to have to get Baller to speed those up.
Yeah. we are plucking those clips
because
I want to break it down. At least
did
the
have
one.
A pretty good goal, I will admit, for me especially. But, geez, when in the time that it's happening, I feel like I'm just buzzing, flying. And then I see the replay on Live Bar, and I'm like, was it that slow? Like, what
did you
happened?
Take a stride over the blue?
I took a couple strides, but it just worked out that way. You know, like Gretz liked to slow the game down.
Oh, he did. He
you
slowed
know,
it down
Hayes,
nice.
He slows the game down. Our boy Hollywood. I just was trying to slow it down a little bit. A little fake drop to Foxy.
Yeah.
John Fox.
You got
Fox,
the skills to do it.
And the guy bit, but as you said, did he really bite or did he just not move? But the goalie went down. I saw the net and I put it in with the Tovey stick.
Of course he did.
And
it was a blaster.
It was funny. I actually meant to put it there. So that was. It's always nice when you actually are trying to do it and it happens.
Were you in flow state?
But with that, yes, I was in flow state. I might have been in something else state too.
You said it was the best you've ever felt?
No, in a while. Because I've not the best I've ever felt. I think it was the best I've played, but I felt good because finally I've dropped a few LBs.
Shedding some LBs.
Yes, and I felt a lot better. And I've been doing, not your yoga, but stretching, doing some of your stretches.
There you go.
And it definitely helped.
I'm
I felt great
about.
All weekend. Yeah, it helps. It definitely does. I'm not going to kid around about that. I think it had a lot to do with my weekend. I wasn't sore at all.
Good, yeah.
You know, and
less information.
From not playing in 5 weeks.
Yeah.
And jumping out and playing, you know, 4 games or whatever it was we played. But it was fun. Missed you, though. Probably could have pulled it out if you'd have been there. But we needed a team lose to make the playoff round. And they're losing. They pull a goalie and score like 30 seconds left to get the tie, so they get a point. So
you guys
we don't
are all
make
watching it.
It
too.
Yeah, we were kind of watching, but it was a good weekend. Had a good time.
Yeah. So just go straight to the All Star game. A couple weeks.
You are.
You're not in it.
I'm not. Me? No, I'm not in it. They they want you.
Oh,
you
all right.
Played a game all year. You get to fucking join the All Star game.
Why the hell
this
not?
Is bullshit, man. No,
it's
I'm
politics.
Kidding. Yeah, it is politics. They want the rig a rally out there.
Oh, yeah.
But I heard you. Can drop the mitts in this new league, so so you might have somebody knocking on the door.
Yeah, well, I'd rather smoke the peace pipe now.
I figured that. Yeah. You can't take it on the ice, though.
No?
No. Wow. Not allowed. Maybe in the penalty box. I've seen Debo in the box there at the roller hockey rink smoking a fucking bowl.
Big cloud of smoke.
Debo, you're it. Give me a minute. Penalty. I'm like, no, the penalty's over.
We got to change the men's league. We gotta reform what this
it's
looks
mandatory.
Like.
Mandatory.
Mandatory. A little puff of cloud here and there, puff of smoke here and there.
Yeah, no, I don't
chocolate.
Need that, man.
No?
I can't do that. Like I can't
gummies,
play
though.
Sports like that.
Well, you don't have to eat 200 milligrams, Nass. You can probably reel it into like 2.5, 5.
The way I'm built, Riggs, I'm pretty much in flow state all the time.
You like are
pretty much
you
there.
Sleep
you saw
in flow
my new
state.
Glasses.
Yeah,
I don't have them on. Yeah. I don't have them on right now.
You were in flow this morning.
I was in flow state
morning. Yeah, I could see it.
But had a good time anyway. You were actually really busy, so it was a good time. Had a blast. Appreciate Brad and Brett inviting us to join them. We had a good time. JD played with us. Foxy, yep. Maddie, Denton.
Nice little crew there.
Yeah, we had a good crew. And other boys from the team that you probably know most of the guys that were playing. So we had a good time.
Nice.
Not much going on right now. Kind of slow, except
for
Alex Kachinyuk. He had a pretty busy week. Not to make light of that. Like, it's not funny,
jeez.
But...
that's one of those... you might... Oh, man.
You, as you said earlier, there might have been a couple times we got into one and you didn't remember and had to ask me exactly what had happened the night before. But this, you know, he got himself into some trouble here.
Yeah,
it's
tough.
It's not good, but he issued an apology, obviously, to the police, to everyone around, I guess.
The organization.
Yeah, the organization. Fancy. And his contract was...
Yeah, terminated. Yeah,
terminated,
13
so,
days after he signed.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah,
done.
Yeah,
so,
for all the young listeners out there.
Yeah, really, for sure.
Choose your decision making a little bit more wisely. And
I used to tell you that.
Oh, I know you did. And you know, you probably don't have to get that crippled either. You know, you gotta respect the sauce a little bit. Yeah,
fun.
Well,
no,
you're
I'm
threatening
kidding.
Police officers and
not,
you
not
know going
fun.
All this you know this extracurricular activity that they
yes.
Probably crossed that line of celebration.
Well, I'm pretty sure there was a line crossed there.
Several, but you know, you wish him the best. He's going
yeah,
to substance
sure.
abuse, man. This is one of these things. Like we're making light of a tough situation, but
yeah,
you know, this is all stuff that we've kind of all dealt with in our own worlds.
Yeah.
And he's you seeking know, help. He's you know he's made the apologies. He's owned it, obviously. So you just
yeah,
wish him the
and
best.
And the thing is, too, just to, on top of that, rouses you don't you never know what people are going through.
Exactly.
There
that's
could
exactly.
be something. Again, we're kind of kidding here, but it isn't funny.
Yep.
You know, this could be going through some stuff, and like you said, he issued apologies and he owned it and he's getting help, so best of luck for him, because he's a good hockey player and a good guy, so hopefully he can bounce back from this, because it's not pretty.
Yeah for sure. And so you just wish him the best, that's all. You know,
yep.
We all make mistakes, and
yep,
that's all you can do is own it and get help, move on.
That's right.
What else is going on, Flyerland?
It's like I said, it's been a little quiet, but our good friend of the show, Tony D'Angelo, got bought out.
Yep.
Kind of feel bad because he got bought out. He wanted to play here. Obviously, we had him on the show, and he couldn't have been more excited about coming back to Philly. And just things just didn't work, and it also sucks for him, because if he could have been bought out earlier,
before
then
July
1,
yeah.
He would have definitely been able to get a deal. Now he's stuck you know, I'm sure something will happen, but like no one has money now.
Right.
The caps, like the cap space for all these teams. So I actually ran into him. He's really good spirits. I was practicing yesterday, skating with a bunch of the guys over at Hollydale Ice Arena, and said he's just waiting to see what, you know, what can happen here. And he said he just loves playing here.
Yeah.
It's a shame it didn't see work. But
now, is that just you know, the bio just an easier move to make? You know, they're trying to trade him. Is it just like killing? Just like to avoid trying to shop him around and go through that whole rigmarole? Just buy him out, move on.
Yeah, I think they kind of did it to help him out, like because Baller, if I'm not mistaken, like the trade, it looked like he was going to be traded to Carolina, and then something's happened there, and I don't know exactly what. I didn't want to be too. I didn't want to be nosy. We were just talking, and but he. I said to him, it's too bad you couldn't have been bought out earlier because then,
yeah,
you know,
of course.
But I'm not sure, Baller, what happened.
Well, I think what happened was they're kind of shifting towards the Erik Karlsson trade market.
Right.
And it sounded like there was a deal in place and the league nixed it because there's something in the CBA where you can't trade for a guy that you traded away less than 365 days ago with cap retention.
So they
think the league thinks there's something fishy going on cap wise where
there was like a back.
Well, it's a different GM though. Shouldn't that come into play?
I mean, it's a different GM.
It's a totally different GM, so you would think. But I thought afterwards, Baller, I think we may have talked about it not on here, but I thought after a certain date they could make the trade. But you're saying they kind of started leaning towards Erik Karlsson.
Well, the Hurricanes general manager came out a couple of days later, said we're still going to do the trade, and then the timeline hit where they could make the trade, and it didn't happen. And all the rumors are saying Carolina wants Karlsson, Pittsburgh wants Karlsson, so maybe they're waiting on that. It sounded like they were going to get some prospect named Massimo.
Our boy?
Mass.
I'm not really sure what happened. I think maybe Danny decided we can use that salary retention spot better used at the trade deadline, where maybe you trade Mark Stahl at the deadline and you retain half his salary, where if you didn't, maybe you get a fourth or a fifth for him, you retain half his deal, get a third for him.
Okay.
Use the retention slots to their advantage. I think that had something to do with it.
Interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting.
Way above my pay grade.
Well, Riggs, I mean, just start doing some reading here. Get on that cap, cap friendly, whatever it's called. I hate to see Tony not going to be back in a Flyers uniform, but hopefully everything works out for him. Great guy, man.
Yeah,
like I said,
I like
friend
Tony
of the show, and he's just a good human. Cam York got a 2-year deal.
Yep.
Annual salary 1.6. Yep, congrats. Little bridge deal there, I think, you know, to see, you know, what happens, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm.
And then Noah Cates also received a 2-year deal. His a little bit more, 2.6 a year. So congratulations to those guys, two guys that I think will be around in the future. They're two young players that are have a lot of promise and got Danny's got his work cut out for him along with Jonesy, you know, and but signing those two, those aren't killer back-breaking deals. You know, it's
they're necessary too, right?
Yeah, but necessary. I think the Yorkie deals, I mean, I think that's pretty friendly for the Flyers, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, what do I know? I don't do the cap, but.
You don't?
Not today. I didn't do it.
You were crunching numbers this morning?
I wasn't. Oh. I wasn't crunching them.
Okay.
But anyway, so congrats to those guys. That's about it, man. There's just not much going on right now.
Yeah, that's it.
You were
a little dry spell.
You what'd you think about Wimbledon there? You enjoy that?
Yeah, pretty strong.
Yeah,
pretty strong attorney.
Can you believe McEnroe won? That's crazy.
Couldn't believe it.
It's wild. He's pretty old. He's like fucking 60. How does he beat Federer?
Limber.
You know, John McEnroe hasn't played.
I know where you're
going.
You
gotta be kidding me.
Man.
Anyway.
All right, I think we're ready to rock your nuts.
Let's go. We got our big buddy.
Big Sam Moran, 2.0.
Yeah, 2.0 back in the studio. When last time he was on, he was playing.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He's moved into a new role, so I think it's about that time.
It's that time. Here we go. Episode 123.
Let's go.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Yep. Welcome back. I'm Riley Cote.
And I'm Derek Settlemyer. And this week we have a big gentleman in the house, a great friend of the show, former first round pick of the Philadelphia Flyers, Mr. Sam Moran. What is up, brother?
What's up? Thank you for having me. Just try to get closer to the mic. Yeah. Is that okay?
No, you're good, buddy. You're good. Yeah.
Good.
Big Sam. First time in the studio.
Yeah.
You've been on the show before when you were still a player. Now you are player development.
Yes.
Tell us how that's going and how this came about.
No, it's awesome. I mean, I've been doing this for a year now. So, it came out probably when I, around Christmas time when Chuck was still here, he offered me like something in the organization, and player development really talked to me. And and I started during Def Camp last summer, and so far, it's going good. Yeah,
When you got named to that, we were talking about you, and we're like, you couldn't find a better guy. First of all, you just played, like you know the game. These kids aren't too much younger than you; they're a little younger than you, and you know how you're probably going to be able to deal with them a little bit easier because you just finished playing, right?
Yeah, it's a different relationship, a different talk. Like for me, it's like more of a big brother role, and you know, like I told you earlier when came in, I have a lot of experience with some stuff like my injuries, being a first rounder, dealing with the pressure, the French, me being French, the language barrier, so I can relate to all those guys. And yeah, I'm really close to all of them. So I think that's part of my role, to get close to those guys, like so they can trust me with anything. Like I'm here to, when I go see them play, I'm here to evaluate them. Obviously, like I do reports and my bosses see it, but I want them to trust me on anything, any problem. Like, you know, I think it's huge. Like I don't want them to see me as a, like, that evaluate them all the time.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So they just like a trust relationship. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So you work with the defensemen. Talk to what it looks like during the season, your role, how does that look? You're traveling around, you're visiting with these guys.
Yeah, so summertime, that's where we are right now. I'm in Philly quite a bit to skate the guys that are training here. And summertimes, I go visit them, talk to coaches, talk to the parents sometimes, and, see what's going on, take them for dinner, and build that relationship. And obviously, I do a lot of video with my guys. I think it's a huge part of today's game. And I watch almost all their game, so I take care of the defensemen and the Q, the Quebec part of it. Okay, so I had a little gendron today, this year.
Well, yeah. I was gonna ask you. So it's unfortunate, I think, Riles, that you are one of the big key factors in banning fighting from the queue.
Was I? Hey, something. I know, but something funny about it is hockeyfight.com was posting like top 20 of fighting from the queue, like, because they're banning it.
Yeah. Right.
And I got tagged on one of them. I was like, yeah, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. I got like a ton of highlights of in the queue, and it's my... The worst one I ever, the one
no.
I got, no, the only one I get knocked out.
No,
I almost like DM'd them. I was like, what the hell is going on here? Like, I got a way better fight than this.
Yeah,
like,
why did they show that one?
Give me a good one. And it was like a terrible one, but you know, you get something.
What are your thoughts on that though? Honestly, you know, you were a guy that stood up for your teammates. You think that's good, taking it out of the game?
I mean, I don't want to, it's a delicate subject. Obviously, it's part of the game. So
right.
Obviously when those kids going to come at pro hockey, they're going to be surprised by, you know, it's the fighting is never going to get out of it. I think it's okay that we don't have the heavyweights anymore, but I think it's just all those dirty little guy they're going to slash you behind the legs and going to get away with it without, you know, yeah, response to it. Like, it just creates some, like, I was a lot of games, and they're just like, they always punch each other with the gloves on, and it's so dirty.
Yeah,
like, just right. like settle it and move on and play yeah. hockey. But yeah, at same times, like, you don't want 16 years old fighting against older guy.
20-year-old.
Yeah, like you were probably doing when you yeah and you're back in the dub, right?
Yeah,
so
right, yeah.
But
different,
yeah,
animal.
It's yeah, it's a touchy subject, but yeah, for sure I think fighting is part of our game, and
yeah
we need to keep it for sure.
Yeah, it's interesting perspective. Yeah, like, I'm all for keeping players safe, right?
Yeah, 100%.
But you know, to your point, like, eventually they're going to turn pro,
yeah,
and they're going to have no experience,
yeah, and that's when you're going
to
get hurt,
and then unfortunately, yeah,
they need to,
you're gonna
yeah,
have to learn the hard way,
yeah,
you know,
and you know, college too, like, some guys are really courageous with the
yeah, the cage visor,
oh, yeah, the cage gonna, yeah, but now the visor, they're like, yeah,
we had Nick Seeler on, and yeah, we were like, you obviously, when you put your helmet on, there's some wires that get crossed.
And Nick, yeah.
You yeah. played college. Was it hard for, you know, we had asked, yeah, him, was it hard for you? Because he'll fight. Obviously,
yeah,
he's fighting in NHL. Yeah. And but like you said, in college, guys are real tough,
yeah,
when they have a full cage on,
yeah,
on, you know? So.
Yeah. Yeah, Nick is a good guy.
He's a funny guy.
He's
yeah,
got the switch. Yeah, yeah.
That's what we talked about, yeah, the switch.
Yeah, you just see in his eyes, okay, he's pissed off. Yeah, he's awesome. Yeah. He's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a good flyer. He fits that.
He fits. He's a great guy too.
Yeah.
So you know his role and
yeah,
you know where he is in the lineup, and yeah, he's awesome.
Great attitude.
Yeah.
Talk about how your retirement happened, and you know, I know you were battling injuries for a couple of years, and then you know the straw that breaks the camel's back, and your decision yeah, to retire. Talk
no,
about that.
No, obviously I got, I mean, you guys know how many injuries I got in my knee. Like, I got 7 or 8 surgery on my
that
knee.
That many, hey?
Yeah, wow, yeah, crazy. Jeez. And you know, like, yeah, I'm never gonna point finger at anything, but anyone, but my, yeah, it's just unlucky. I was just unlucky with my last surgery. I went to Chicago, and they told me that I was gonna be fine. That was in July, and I rehurt my knee a week after that, and I needed another surgery in September. And the guy told me, okay, should be fine around December to play again. And my knee was just like, I was just losing cartilage. Like, imagine a orange and you just peel it. Mm-hmm. Like, it just, yeah, my cartilage just peeled from my bone. So in January, at the end of December, I was like, mentally, I was drained. And I said, I don't think I can do it again anymore. Like, right, and, you know, I need to think about my future. Like, I need a knee replacement at 28 years old.
Right.
So that talks to you. And, you know, and right now my knee feels fine, but it's never going to be the same. Right. Yeah, you know, I play hurt during the COVID year. I was taking a lot of pills to just play. And, mm-hmm, you know, at the same time, you need to think about your health. And I decided sure, to shut it down. And it's the right decision for sure. Like, I have no regrets. Like, I had, you know, you saw me, like, in the gym every day. Like, yeah, you were there. And, yeah, like, I think I did everything I could to be a player. And now I'm going to do everything I can to be the best development coach in the league. That's, like, you know, that's where I am. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, well, you're taking a lot of your learnings from your playing career into this role.
Yeah.
And yeah, you definitely, I mean, I was coaching you, you know, down in Lehigh, and I seen the adversity you dealt with, you were dealing with, and it, you know, you don't wish that on anybody, but
yeah.
I always remember you having the best attitude, like, yeah. you know, up and down and like all over the place. You're always there putting in the work and keeping the good attitude as tough as it was, you know, from my perspective. I know what you were going through. I can't imagine what it was like. But, you know, at some point you have to be honest with your situation, right?
No, it's you like, need to realize, you need to look yourself in the mirror. And I was always been a believer in if you work really hard in life, like my dad and was like this too, you're going to get what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and every time I was like, yeah, like, okay, another ACL. I was like, yeah, but if I work, Matt, like, I'm going to work even harder, like, you know, and it just didn't happen like this. But at the same time, it creates me an opportunity to do what I still love, hockey. And, yeah, and I love it. Like, this gig is awesome. Like, I'm on the ice with guys and just to see them after games. And, you know, when they have a bad game, I know exactly how they feel. Like, yeah, you know, yeah, right. I had a guy this year, like, I saw two of his game, and after the game he didn't play really well, and I was like, bro, like, I know exactly how you feel, like, just like, we're gonna do video, we're gonna work together, and we're gonna point out what's going on right now. Maybe you don't move your feet enough, you don't go at the net, stuff like this, that, you know. And the week after this he was great, you know. He just you just need to, but I know exactly how they feel. Like, there's so much pressure to be a professional athlete. Like, there's so much stuff you deal with, and
it's easy. Just listen to what people say.
They think it's easy, but you deal with so much shit.
It's so much more behind everything that people
and they don't make money at a young age too.
Like,
they say, oh, you get money, but like, I swear to God, you earn your money.
There's a price to pay for sure. Well, it must be refreshing for these young guys to have a guy like you come around and be that voice of reason. You know, you're getting feedback, you're getting the coaching without all the extra, being super critical.
And,
That negative vibration that comes along with coaching.
But at the same time, I need to tell them what they need to do.
Be honest,
like, to be honest with them and tell them, like, what you need to do to be in NHL. Like, that's the goal. Like,
of course.
And I don't care if you're first rounder or seventh rounder or you invite, like, what you... Like, me as a player, I love to be coach. Just tell me what I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Just tell me. That's what I wanted. Like, okay, like, my feet are not good enough. We're gonna work on it. My shot or anything. Like, oh, I'm not physical enough.
Yeah.
The big thing now with the kids are they have a ton of skills, but they're not like physical enough.
Yes.
Like it's, you can make a lot of money playing on the fourth line in NHL, you know? Like, so you need to find your chair, and after like not everyone's gonna play on the power play. Like, you need to find your role. That's such
a good point, Sam, because I'm sure you love hockey. I'm sure you watch the playoffs. The teams that make it are playing the hard game.
Yeah, it's playoff hockey.
It's hard, man.
We need skills.
You have to have skills.
No doubt about it.
But nowadays, your skill guys have to maybe go in the corner once in a while.
Well, you need to have the puck to score goals. Like, if you're just a skill guy and you're just waiting for your teammate to get you the puck, like, you're never gonna get it. It's a team sport.
Yep.
Like, I really believe in that. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
How much has changed? I mean, it's only been 5 years since I was coaching, probably a little longer than when I was coaching you, but you know, there's so much emphasis on the physical body, strength, so much emphasis on skill. How much emphasis on the mind? And, you know, you see the guys that make it, don't make it, you know, the guys that are inconsistent because of, you know, they're basically their own worst enemy.
It's a grind. It's a grind. Like, you know, you're going to get through so much adversity just to play one game in NHL.
Right.
And when you make to the NHL and you made it, you think you made it, like, you play your first NHL game, now you need to stay.
Yeah.
So, like, that's the grind, in my opinion. Like, everyone can play, like, one or two good games, but can you stay in the NHL? Like, can you, like, play a full season? Because this is hard. Like, guys are so good. So this is a, like, NHL game is so fast now, and it's a grind. And night after night, you need to be on your A game because there's a next guy behind you is gonna take your spot.
Yeah,
every year this draft pick's coming.
Yeah,
you need to be ready to go.
100%. And what are you guys doing, like, to maybe lend a hand to that piece of consistency? You know, again, like, you know, the physical piece is there, right? Yeah. These guys are built like Greek gods. They're fast or strong. They can shoot. Yeah. But it's like, it's always like, you know, you've played with guys. I've coached guys, play with guys, and I'm probably including myself. Like, you know, there's times where like you become your own worst enemy. Like, you're not able to let go of a shift or let go of a bad play or let go of a bad game. And then you carry that over into the next game.
But we have guys that do that psychology, you know. Yeah. Like, you know, we have a new guy, Jeremy, this year, that's his job, like talking to players. But teammates too are huge. My teammates.
yeah.
I always like really trust my teammates and, you know, the vets and, you know, talk to them and what's their opinion. Because I wanted to be a pleaser. You know, I wanted to everyone be happy with my game.
Right.
So sometimes you need to self-evaluate yourself. You need to know if you play a good game or a bad game.
Sure.
So I don't need like a nasty opinion. Like I know how I play the game. So I think self-evaluate your game is huge now, in my opinion.
Like, be honest with
honest. Know where you are and if you play a good game. For me, like, it's not by making points. Like when I was playing, it was like, by how I defend, how hard I play. This is why I was a first rounder, because I was huge, I was skating well, good first pass. That's what I was. So you need to self-evaluate yourself. Like, they need to learn. Yep. Like, I got guys, sometimes they come at me and I say, "Hey, what do you think about your game?" I say, "I was sick." So, okay, because you got one apple, you got one assist. it your chin pad, your chin pad, and you're like, I'm like, okay, let's see, like we're gonna do some video, we're gonna look at your chef, and like you were not involved a lot, and it's okay, like. It's just they need to learn. It's a learning process. And when they're going to know what's their game, what's their identity, that's huge. You need to know what's your identity.
100%.
Yeah.
And having someone like you helps them reflect on their game, right? Because if you don't have anybody to keep you accountable, you're always going to think
in a positive way, too. You know, right? Like I tell you, I'm not saying, hey, like I'm not shitting on them.
Right.
Like
right.
It's all the way you approach. And, you know, and for me, like video. Like it's, you can't hide from it. Like when I show you in the video something, and I say like you see it, it's you, and the guys, the player sees it, and he's like, oh yeah, like you're right.
Yeah.
I didn't really go the net there, and you know I was turning, and my assist was pretty lucky. So maybe my game was not as good as I thought.
Yeah. Keeping them honest.
Yeah.
Who is? I mean, you've been doing this a year now, but. In your opinion, who's a prospect that you've been working with that Flyer fans should be like excited about, or someone you think that's really got a?
No, we had a ton of good prospects. Honestly, like we just drafted. Demon Bunker and guys like this. I think we should be all excited about our picks. Like, and you know, when they get drafted, like that's my job now, to take care of them and to like tell them what they need to do to get a new level, but. I don't want to name too many names. Like, obviously, they're going to listen to the podcast, and we should be excited about what we got in the prospect pool right now.
Honestly, we
made some Thursday, I think, make some really good picks, and I'm really excited. Like, I have some big bodies I can work with as a D-man, and we have a guy too in Boston that's really physical. I really like his game, so it just...
That's awesome.
Yeah. No, I think our prospects are solid, and you know, and Danny is clear about what is going on. I think my department, like our department of development, is really, really important in the years to come. You know, it's huge. Like,
it's probably the biggest it's been in a long time because we're in an official rebuild.
So obviously the scouts, they're going all over the place. They found those talent, but some of them needs work.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's our job, you know, and even the strength coach, the strength guys in the gym, as important as us. Development.
Yes.
Like, we need to develop, even if it's a later pick, if you can get him to NHL, like, we need to, get those guys where they need to be.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, you know, now you're on the other side of it, like, how much do you interface with, like, the Phantoms during the season?
Yeah.
And... how much development actually happens during the season? Like, in reality, you know, they're skating every day, they're practicing.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the big thing. I think development is the summer.
Yeah, it is the summer. Yeah, right,
it's a summer thing. So my job during the winter, it's I go see them and I take notes, right? I do reports on what they need to work with. And I go back and I look, okay, so this guy needs to work on his skating in the summer, like da-da-da-da-da-da. So because there's not much you can, like, they have coaches. You can't, like, interfere. You're not a coach. Be clear, you're not a coach. You're a development coach. So that's more of a summer thing. Like you said, like, how much you can do in the winter, it's to support them, do video, a lot of video with them, and, mm-hmm. you know, talk to them. And that's it, in my opinion. Yeah.
Yeah.
You go on the ice too sometimes. In the aid, we do, like, development session. But, like, they have practice. It's a grind. The season's a grind. You need to rest.
Yeah.
Summer.
That's summer, when, yeah, I know, yeah. I agree.
Development is a summer.
Yeah, because I remember when I was still coaching, you know, the development guys would come in, and it's almost like they were justifying their job by, like, adding another skill session before practice.
Okay,
like,
that's, you know, you've been around, you know exactly what's going on. Yeah. So for me, like, yeah, if I go with the Phantoms, obviously I'm on the ice, but I'm not, like, just, like, you're there to watch, and you can make, if Lappy is saying, hey, we have 30 minutes for you guys before practice, let's make a little skill session, that's okay. But you can, like, it depends of the schedule.
Yeah, right, of course.
And the summer, like, true. That's when I'm here.
That's when I'm meeting potatoes.
And, that's when I need to work, summer. Like, that's when I work the most. Yeah.
Well, that's probably the most gains, like, fit, you know, like, as far as a hockey player goes.
No, that's, and, like, obviously this year it's awesome.
Foundation.
Yeah, we have a great setup, so, yeah. Guys that want to train here are well treated. Yeah.
Yeah.
Has much changed in the game as far as, like, say, defensive position since you retired? Or the teaching,
I mean, it's just
much
been
the same?
A year or two, so I think it's pretty much the same.
Pretty much the same,
yeah. Like, you look at, you always copycat in this league, right? You see Vegas, like, the way they were built, they were big, they were fast,
mm-hmm.
they were a good first pass, and I think on the back end, you need to be you need to be big, in my opinion. Not overly, like, you need to have some skills, but you need to be
heavy
and, you know, and but you still need to have skills. Like, those guys are rare, like, guys that can move and they're big and can make a good first pass, and, you know, I think that's how you win.
Yeah,
like, you're just a copycat, right?
Yeah,
like,
it is. Yeah,
it's always
year,
like
yeah,
this.
Yeah.
Well, that's like what teams do.
Yeah, you should study the champ every year.
Oh, they won. Okay, so,
We need to do this.
You look at the deals that the Demon got during free agency.
Yeah.
Schenner. Like, those guys are rare now.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, he was in the American League. Yeah.
You know, Goody?
He
got a great deal.
He's got a great deal, because he's a physical. You don't find them.
Yeah.
So I told my kids.
Totally.
Like, just hit a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're rare. We need that.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Like, Ryan Reeves' deal.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah.
Nick DeLoria here. Same thing.
Yeah.
You don't find those guys anymore.
No, not anymore.
Yeah.
No, they are a rarity.
Chef play 10 years later, right?
I know, exactly. We still get deals.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
They're rare.
He could come back.
I could.
He's 40 pounds lighter. So.
No, I know. I saw his next
skill guy.
So he was talking about your picture. Maybe I can get Baller to pull that up.
Yeah,
what'd you say you weighed? 500?
Yeah, 500 in the jaw.
Yeah, I was getting paid to eat.
Yeah, you were a big boy.
Oh, I was. Yeah, I was fat.
Yeah, you look better now, though.
Way healthier. Yeah, I feel better than I ever have.
Yeah.
Yoga.
Yeah.
Yoga every day. Stretching.
Skill guy.
Yeah. He's a skill guy in men's league on our team.
Are you okay?
Oh,
you teach guys
a lot.
Yeah,
I'm sure you are. Yeah. But I love when you were coaching me. I love your drills. You had some good stuff. Like, it was fun.
Yeah, just trying to keep.
Maybe you should bring him to the men's league. We can run
Yeah, just trying to be realistic with some of the stuff that happens in games, right? A lot of times I always felt like some of the drills didn't really translate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You need
you got to.
This is a big change for me, too. Like what we're doing, try to. So they can see what's the game situation, you know, puck protection, like in the corner, like, okay, so that's that situation for a forward, or same thing, a breakout for D, like. Okay, like you get pressure and you need to turn this way. That's why, like, you need to explain all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. And how many times like a defenseman, a shitty puck comes up the wall.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
You need to handle it. Like,
you got to handle it, right?
Yeah,
you're in the way
right.
of it. You got to settle it down. Like, that happens over and over and over again. And it's like, he's
exactly.
like little things like that, obviously. But it's fun. I always enjoyed, that part of it, just like, you know, just seeing guys dig in and learn and see them improve. You
so
know?
Fun, eh? So fun to watch them, like, and when they enjoy it and they want to learn, they ask questions. Like, that's what I love that.
I love
that part of the job. Like, ask me a question, and I want to work for you. Like, I want to work really hard for you. That's why I'm here.
Yeah.
Like, and that's what, as a player, that's what you expect too.
Totally.
Yeah. That's the only thing you need. Yeah. Like, do you care? Yeah. Do you really care about me and me making the NHL? That's what. That's it.
That's
as a player, that's it. That's, and obviously, you need to know what you're talking about. Yeah. Like,
it helps.
Yeah, it helps. Sometimes, like, I was like, but you know, me, like, I always, like, all my coaches were always fine. Like, I had coaches that never played hockey, and when they were telling me something, I was like, yeah, you know, you see it from a different perspective. You take it or you leave it, but you need to be coachable.
You have to be open to receive the information.
That's huge. Yeah,
mm-hmm. That is huge. A big one. Mm-hmm. And I was actually going to ask you about coaches. Like, is there anything that, like, jumps out to you from like your coaches in the past that you're able to take into how you're communicating with your players? Is there something specific, or is it just kind of like an accumulation?
Yeah, but like I told you guys earlier, like, for me, I'm more of a positive guy. I really want to be positive. I had some situations sometimes in my past, like during development camp, I was like a little, like, nervous to
holding the stick.
It was a little like, it was like, yeah, exactly, holding the stick, like just relax. We're here to learn, and I'm here to help. I'm not here to evaluate you, like, especially during the summer. Trust me, let's do it together. That's what it is. Like, they need to trust me.
Yes,
100%.
Like, I want them to talk to me like I'm a player, not a media guy.
Yeah, right.
Or like, yeah, that's what I want. Yeah,
that's super important. I was going to say also, I think, you know, you're still fresh in this job. Like, you know, when you see guys make their way to the NHL and play games, and like that feeling, I'm not like you're going to say you take credit for it, but like you see them kind of coming into their own and becoming like the true pro that you're trying to
exactly. So it's my first year. I don't have any guys I already worked with that are there yet. But Desi, like, example, at NYA, like last year, I was like, he was my look. Like, I took care of him when he was here in the summer, like, take him for dinner. And, you know, I was like, I was proud of him.
Yeah,
you know?
Of course. Yeah.
And even as a player, me, I was always happy for my teammate, but I was going to compete against you like crazy. But I was happy for my teammate for what happened to them, you know. It's a tough business. You need to be close to your teammates. Like, it's a little circle. Like, you need to trust them.
True. Yeah.
Well, I think, like, we know you well, Sam, and the people that don't, you're such a good human being away from me being a hockey player. That's why they have you in this role, because you're going to flourish with it, because you do care.
You care. Yeah. Exactly.
Like, you could tell you cared. Like you said, you kept battling. I mean, I felt so bad for you. Like, but it was like, you didn't want anybody to feel bad. You were like, hey, I'm okay. I'm going to get, you know, like, you have that attitude.
Yeah, thank you.
You're always positive. Yeah. And for those kids, that's huge coming in. You probably they can kind of take a breath, because you're telling them, like what you said, you know, hey, just relax. We're just trying to get better here, not evaluating. And your attitude's always so positive. I think that's going to be huge for these kids.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it, Nasty. Yeah, man. Yeah, thank you.
Because the reality is like, adversity is going to happen. Guys are going to get hurt. They're going to get benched. They're going to, you know, have all the, you know, life happens,
everything's
going
to happen. Man.
So, like, it's like the attitude is the one thing you can control.
Yeah, exactly. And when you realize too that in life, I don't know, like me with Cole Bardo, remember him?
Oh, yeah.
Told me that before.
Yeah.
And I was like getting injured, and I was coming to the rink a little pissy. And he looked at me and said, do you realize that no one's going to feel sorry for you? Like, just, and that thing in my head, like, all my career, like, just put your work boots on and keep moving forward. Like, no one's going to feel bad for you in life, like, for what's happening. It's just, that's the business.
Yeah.
Like, you need to make your way. Like we always, like, in life, when something happens, we're always like, oh, like, sometimes we're bitter why it's happening to me, but it's in the past. Like, no one's going to feel sorry for you. Just keep moving forward. And, like, and that's what I do with my role. Like, I'm not better one bit by what happened to me.
Yeah.
With my injuries. Yeah. Not at all, actually. Like,
it's amazing, actually.
Yeah, actually, retirement is pretty nice.
You're
stealing cars.
Stealing car. Yeah, Enterprise. Be careful with this.
Well, they won't be a sponsor anymore.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
Yeah.
No, that's good, man. Mm-hmm. It's good to see you. I'm glad. Didn't have any doubts that you would end up working for the Flyers or anything like that, but it's really good to see, because it's important for these kids and their development, and couldn't think of a better guy, Riggs, to have doing that.
And there's no surprise, because you mentioned it earlier, you know, like, if I keep working hard, well, maybe it just wasn't in the cards to keep playing physically, but that work ethic, that attitude's carried over into what you're doing now. It didn't go by the wayside, and it certainly wasn't, you know, not noticed, you know.
No, exactly. Not, like you said, not the, like how many times I spend in the gym alone on the bike or totally. Like, but like I wasn't doing it to get noticed. I was doing it for me, like to each other. But like you said, like people, like there's highs everywhere. Oh, like, people see what you're doing. Yeah. Like you, like strength, not strength, equipment guys. You guys like, mm-hmm. like GM talks to you guys. Like you know, like that's what I noticed on the other side of the business. There's always someone watching all the time. If you're junior and you think you're in the middle of nowhere, you're going to take a night off and someone's watching.
His eyes.
Exactly.
Yeah. You need always someone. Someone's always watching.
Yeah. And that's where the attitude is so important, because had you gone pissy, you know, you're probably not in this position. Honestly, I mean, you know what I mean? It's easy to get sour and, you know, go that way. And
how many guys like me got injured? I'm not the first one.
No.
No. Yeah. Unfortunately.
So, yeah.
You can blame a lot of different things and situations. But, you know, again, going back to the attitude, I think it's just such a critical piece for everybody in life. And all the listeners, all the prospects. I mean, if it's the one thing that you can teach them, you know what I mean? Is like,
yeah,
it's like how you human approach being it. And all that.
Yeah.
Because it forges a path forward, you know? Yeah. So.
100%.
Well, we appreciate you, Sam.
Yeah, man. I mean,
this has been awesome seeing the flesh here.
Yeah, yeah, it's fun. Yeah, 2.0. Thank you for
we do want to announce the one thing. You haven't totally agreed yet, but August 15th, the boxing match against you two.
Oh, yeah. Okay, we're doing it. But you know when Raleigh was coaching me and when I was filing, I was always playing more after that.
Yeah.
So that's it's like, come on, buddy.
Yeah, right?
Get back out there.
Yeah, I love it.
Man, Sam had 26 minutes of ice tonight.
Yeah, he's got 5 minutes of fighting,
five
too.
Minutes
yeah,
fighting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Buddy, but hey. Give our best to Cube. He's getting married.
Yeah, Friday.
He's really going to do it this time.
He's doing it.
Have a good time, buddy. And thanks for your time, brother. We love you, man.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Anytime. Yeah,
good luck in the gig, and I know you're going to do really well with it.
Thank you, Keep in touch anytime.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Big thank you to our good friend, Sam Moran. What an
big
awesome
boy.
Dude. God. Yeah, big boy.
Forget how big he is.
Jeez. I think he's bigger.
You guys should have given me like 4 phone books to stand on for
my
that picture.
God.
Jeez. Yeah, you're tall enough. You make me look like a midge.
Just a little tyke.
Whew. You ain't kidding. What a big man. What a nice man.
Yeah.
What a nice kid. Still call him a kid. I feel like he's still a kid, but he's obviously not.
He's not?
No, not really. He's 28. He's a big kid if he is.
A huge kid,
Hilarious. Still afraid of snakes. Fake ones.
So
a live baller. I'll have to post that one.
Can I sit there?
Yeah, that's your seat. Butter. That's your seat.
Oh, fuck.
I fucking hate it. He loves that thing.
That's your seat.
Oh, fuck.
That's your seat.
Oh, fuck.
And he also rang his brain right off my basketball cool because Elvis has it lowered all the way down. Poor guy, he's got a conky leaving
here.
Oh,
man.
Going to Cube's wedding, and he's got a conky. Seriously, the Flyers, that is a great hire.
Yeah.
A guy like him, a positive guy, and who cares about anything he does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he does something, he's doing it 100%. And, cool to have him in and talk to him, because you could see how excited he is about it.
Yeah. No, love being around him. He's always got the good energy, and to see him bringing that into the player development side of things is what they need, honestly. It's like the old guard's kind of out, and you got this new energy coming in. And I mean, the guy's dealt with so much adversity, man. I mean, I witnessed it firsthand. You did too. And to see this guy showing up day in, day out, and just pour it in, soul into it, and you know he gets rewarded, right? We talked about it with him on the pod. He gets rewarded because of such a good how much of a positive attitude he carried around the rink, and you know how he impressed the staff. So we wish him the best, man. You know he's gonna do well
in
that.
I believe so.
It's never right in his wheelhouse.
You never know where it leads to, you know, later on as to a coaching position.
Exactly.
If he wanted.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, he's just such a fun guy to be around, and he loves what he's doing, and good for him.
Yep. Yeah, wish him the best.
Yep.
All right, Nas, it's that time.
It is. It's time for Clear Questions, brought to you by our friends from Clear Rum. Do not forget, Nasty 2023 for 35% off in PA only. Go to Clear Rum and put that in. Trust me, you're going to love it.
Nasty loves it.
I do. It's Well, anyone I've given one to loves it. Yeah, I mean, it's the best. And I was never a rum guy. I know I've said it, but good God, it's good.
And if I was still on the sauce, I'd be crushing it.
I think nobody likes Quitter, and you should just come on back.
Rehabs for Quitters, now.
That's right. No. Let's do it. Clear rum questions.
Here we go.
Baller, what do you got?
We got one from Jersey Mike over on Twitter. Flyers Daughters Talk Flyers. He wants to know, whatever happened to calling a penalty on a player for an illegal curve on their stick rule? How did it work between equipment guys telling a player it wasn't legal and the player wanting to use it anyways? Any good stories?
Actually, I do. It's funny because my dad was legendary for calling sticks.
Really? Hey?
And I'll never forget my first year in Florida. We're playing the Rangers, and I believe it was Kovalev. He would have been obviously very young. And
definitely illegal.
Oh, yeah, 100%. But Roger Nielsen was like super nervous, and we were in the playoff hunt. We literally finished that year, the inaugural year, 1 point out of a playoff spot. But it was a huge game. We're in New York. It's tied. And I remember Roger Nielsen, it's a tied game, looking over to my dad, and he said, "Sudsy, are you sure?" My dad goes, 100%, call it. Call it now, because he's got it in his hand. Call it. Actually, it was illegal. We scored on a power play.
Wow.
Seriously. So,
was that Sudsy's like, strategy just to like observe
the opponent? He just, you know, he had done it for so long. Right. And so,
he just knows.
Yeah. And so, a couple funny stories quickly. I remember being with the Phantoms, and John Paddock, too tall, was known for checking teams' sticks. Like, we had to leave our stuff in their room until the next day. And I'm not saying too tall went in there and checked, but I'm saying he went in there and checked. And we had Mike Maniluk had always used an illegal stick, and I would always tell him, "Well, too tall calls it," and Manny breaks it on the bench, and they put him in the box. Well, the next year we had Ryan Bast, and he had an absolute hook. Now we hit back in the day. Part of this answer to this question is there were. You remember the measures?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So you could tell if you could use it to. That's how the refs checked it. I remember Marty McSorley getting called.
Oh yeah, that was a big one.
Way back and cost them the game.
Yeah.
In the series to go to the finals. But anyway, I told Beast, I was like, "Listen, this coach here, he was going to call your stick." I said, "Let's make one legal." So you put the blades into the shaft. So we made one legal, and he played most of the game with the illegal one. Third period, we're up a goal, and I said, "Beast, let's switch this stick out."
Shelf
and he's like, "Let's wait a little bit longer." I'm like, "Man, I got a bad feeling. I'm telling you." Switched sure it. Enough. Too tall called it. They get the penalty.
Wow.
And yeah. Great so strategy, like there were there was yeah. Thanks, Cotton.
Yeah.
but yeah, it was crazy. And then all of a sudden. I don't think there's an illegal stick anymore.
No,
there's not. And I mean, you see Novi's curves, you see all these curves. Like,
so even, there's no rule anymore.
There's just no.
Just not calling
if you can play with something like that,
yeah, right?
I think they're saying go ahead.
There's no advantage.
You
at
know,
this point.
So yeah, I remember there were quite a few different times with things like that with sticks, and you were always nervous. And so I started making players make one of their sticks, and it was just always on the bench. That was legal if they play with an illegal stick.
Well, interesting.
So, yeah.
It's funny you mentioned John Paddock. I don't know if you saw. He just recently retired from hockey.
He was
a GM and coach and everything of Regina Pats, but been in the game forever. But I had a chance to coach with him.
Yes.
And I've seen some of his old school strategies. So I'm not surprised that he was sniffing around other people's sticks.
Yeah, it was funny. And as my dad knew him, obviously he had him as a player. And my dad told me, like, too tall, call sticks.
Yeah.
Like he's always like,
always
you know, because my
advantage.
Dad would do it. So he was like kind of like interested by it, you know. So
sure.
Anyway, that's a couple of stories.
Yeah, that's good.
Good question.
Yeah, really good question.
We got one from Dr. Brizgalov over on Twitter.
He's a doctor now?
Oh, he's got a lot of time.
Guy does it all, Debo.
Yeah, he's paying his way to med school.
Debo, wait.
He's getting nothing but time.
We're still going.
Do you think Danny B will lock up Frosty the goal man long term?
Man, that's a good question. I don't know, Rob. Like, I think he played well, obviously, as the year went on, and I think he gained some confidence from Torts, but maybe not sure if he put quite enough up to go with a longer deal, maybe a bridge deal, and in my opinion, is what he'll probably get.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it could be really good for him because I really think he's getting better and better, and that could work out well for him.
Yeah, that's the way I'm thinking of it as well. I think he did enough to earn that bridge.
Mm-hmm.
He's stronger, more confident. He talked about it, obviously. We can see it in his play. I think he's one of those guys that you'll continue to get better with more opportunity and ice time. So might not be a bad thing to get a little bridge in there. And I'm not sure he played enough and produced enough for that
long term.
Yeah, that's the way I see it. But
yeah, me too. Good question. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
One more from Greg Bond over on Instagram. What role in a hockey organization would you want to be if you had your choice? GM, coach, scout, etc.
Nast, you want to be GM, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do. I don't know, man. That's a lot. It's actually a really good question.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think I would like to be a scout to watch because I'm just such a nerd. I love watching hockey. But I also enjoy coaching, and I know it's just kids, my son. So it'd either be a scout or to actually coach. I think I'd lean on coaching. You have coached before, mm-hmm. and I've heard there's a lot of stress with it. But I think it'd be fun. I would like to try to coach.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't a whole lot of stress being an assistant coach. You kind of
I don't know. Some days you're a little rattled.
Oh, a little rattled because there's a bunch of bullshit in politics.
Yeah, exactly.
But head coaching is a different thing. GM, obviously, all the eyes are on GM and head coaches, right?
Right.
But there's obviously a ton of different roles. Player development would be, ideal. And I think, like for me personally, I would see myself maybe in that world of player development. But, in the world I'm in outside of sport right now is in the world of mindfulness. That's why I keep up asking questions
with Sam about
the mind. And because I feel like how much stronger, how much faster, how much more skilled can we become? That's foundational to being a hockey player, obviously. But I think I'm looking at the guys that, that never played versus the guys that played, guys that were drafted that never played and guys that were never drafted that played. And, what is the difference? And it's certainly not anything more than the mind, right? I mean, the ability to focus, but also to let go of shitty games, shitty shifts. The mindfulness piece is, I think it's talked about more. I mean, I think more and more teams and organizations are bringing that in as a piece of the player development. So it's a kind of a unique role, I think, but I just think it's a gap. There's a gap there. I think getting ahead of this thing and not just on performance, but like mental health. Like if you actually do give two shits about your players, you know, and preserving their mental health, if guys are enrolling in the substance abuse program for 30 days or missing games because their mental health isn't right. This man game's lost. Could be the difference of making it, not making it into the playoffs. I think for me personally, it'd be kind of a carving out maybe a new role, a mindfulness coach, I guess.
Yeah.
Within that player development role. Because I think it's necessary. Guys are struggling.
Well, we've seen
so many guys, struggle. And again, while they're playing, when they're retired, obviously when you're talking about while they're playing, it's like giving these guys a foundation of understanding how to ground when shit's not going well.
Right.
That's just on the hockey side of things. They got life.
Yes.
Yes. Girlfriend, fiance, wife, family. you got all the stuff you're dealing with outside of the performance. So, finding ways to preserve your mental health and perform at a high level consistently. I think that's the key, right? Yeah. Guys can play a couple games up and do well, but staying consistent. So that'd be my answer.
I like that answer. There it's way better than mine.
No, I like it. You want to be a coach? You want to be a GM? You want to be a scout?
I want to be a coach.
You're Jackie Moon.
Yeah, Jackie Moon. Player coach?
Why not? Marketing?
Yeah, there you go.
Selling tickets?
Yeah. No, I don't want to do any of that stuff, man. No. But great question. Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you so much.
And that's a wrap, Nast.
That's it.
Clear questions in the books.
In the
books. Episode 123 in the books. Appreciate all your listeners out there. Be sure to check us out next week for 124. Until then, Stay safe, knuckleheads.
Yeah.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.